and work on it. And I worked on it and worked on it. And then one day, Betty brought me an article from House to House and Heart to Heart that we both thought would fit very good into the way our world looks at us today and the way we look out at everything. And I thought while we were there singing, how much a lot of our songs went right along with what I was thinking about in this particular lesson and what I was thinking about while studying the 23rd Psalm. But in this, the article is titled, Where to Turn When There Is Nowhere to Turn. And how often have we been in that shape, we might say, when we were very sick or in hospitals or when we are at an accident, someone has been hurt. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. So often we get in a position such as that. At the death of a loved one, as we know the Lampley family is going through now, where do we turn? What do we do? And I thought, why not maybe combine the 23rd Psalm with this particular lesson? Because in time of turmoil, turning to the 23rd Psalm is one of the most pleasing things that I think that we can do. Read it, learn it, realize what it is actually saying. But we'll get to the 23rd Psalm a little later. But first, we can read in the Bible and know that man is born of trouble. In Job, the 5th chapter, verses 7, it tells us man is born of trouble. Then in Job 14, verses 1, man that is born of woman, of a few days, but full of trouble. Full of trouble. Many days, man is full of trouble. How often have we seen it in our own lives, in the lives of our family, our community? Trouble, death, sickness, accidents, all of these are times of turmoil. Where do we turn? As we can see in the New Testament, while Jesus was on earth, many of them turned to him in time of sickness, in time of death. And as we see here in the nobleman from Capernaum in John chapter 4, he turns to the Lord, to Christ. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Galilee, out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him, begged him, asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then a little later on down there we read, Jesus comes to him and says, go your way, your son lives. Then further on down we see the father was asking his servants, what time of hour did the son begin to live or to improve? Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Turn to Jesus, and his son lived. We can see many of them in Matthew, the son of one that was very sick, Jairus. They prayed that he come and healed him, and he did. Turn to Jesus. Turn to his word. Now, the question that we ask so many times when things like this, we might say, happens to us, why? Why? We don't know why. Why did my son get so sick? Why did my father die? Why did? Why did? Why did? We want to ask why. You know, Job asked why. Why didn't he die at birth with all the torment that he was going through? Many in the Bible ask questions of why. Why did my son get sick? Why did this? Why did that? And even Jesus asked the question, why hast thou left me? Why did God leave Christ on that cross to die? The question, why? You know, we can answer the question, because of me, because of you, because of all of us. Christ had to die on that cross. Thousands today are asking the question, why? You know, why is a hard question to answer. But as Christians, do we need to ask why? Do we need answers? No. We already have them. We need to turn to the Bible to find all the answers. We do not need explanations. We have promises. Promises. That's what we need to look to. Promises that God has made for his children, for us, that if we live faithful to him, look at all the promises that have been made for us. Eternity in heaven. The greatest promise ever made to anyone, to mankind. And we can look at the same time in this. Reading the Bible, we know that riches, we know that prestige, we know that prominence in life will not exempt us from times of turmoil, times of torment. We know that they will come. We must remember to turn as God's children. Jeremiah said, man cannot turn to anything. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, I just want to turn and read that. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah told us we could not direct our own steps. Turn to God. Turn to His Word to direct our steps. And we can read throughout the Bible that God is everywhere. So God is here. I often worry, well, not worry, but think about the times that we forget that God is in our midst. Christ is here. He knows every turmoil. He knows every time that within ourselves we don't know where to turn. We don't realize where to turn. We get in such a turmoil over the time that we're suffering or whatever it might be. We forget to turn to God in the time of turmoil. Talk about God's presence. We can read throughout the Bible where God was present with His people during their time of turmoil or whatever. We know God was with Daniel in the lion's den, protecting him there. We know that God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, keeping them from getting burned up there. But do we realize God is here? God is with us daily, with us. If we just only keep our mind on Him, our thoughts on Him, realizing that He is everywhere. In Psalms 15, we read that God is able to deliver. Psalms 50, rather, and verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Glorifying God by simply calling upon Him, by simply obeying His will, by simply following His word. And in Psalms 46:1, the psalmist said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." A very present help in trouble. And we realize and know that Jesus turned to His Father while He was on the cross. He prayed. He prayed to His Father. One of the best things that we can do in time of turmoil and trials, pray. Pray to God. We must remember too that in our prayers to God, they cannot be just a statement. It must be full sincerity to God, realizing that if we're not God's children, if we're not obedient to God, the answer will not be. But as God's children, we can be faithful, realizing that God will answer. And as we say so many times, it may not be the way we want, but God will answer what is best. He will tell us, show us what is best. Now, in this article that I've got, The last thing he stated is that we must be prepared before we go. We must be prepared before we go to God in prayer. Prepare ourselves in sincerity, in truth, in honesty, in praying what we need, what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. In time of anguish, pray that something be said or done that will encourage us, lift us up. That's what we need to do. But remember, Proverbs 1:24-26 says, because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded it. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. If we refuse God, he will laugh at our calamity. That is a shivering thought, I guess. But this is not to say that we cannot turn to God when trouble comes. In fact, some Bible characters did turn to God because of their trials. And we just read several of them that did turn to God. We can turn to God earnestly. And when we turn to God for aid without true repentance, we cannot expect God's blessings. Without true repentance, without the true sincerity, we cannot expect God's blessings. And to end this or wind it down, as Sean says so much, if we will turn to the 23rd Psalm in our times of trial, torment, sickness, and read what has been promised in the 23rd Psalm, I want to just read a partial list of the things that we can expect if we're in true obedience to God. It says in Romans 8:1, you are beyond condemnation. As Christians, obedient to God, we are beyond condemnation. You are delivered from the law. Romans 7:6. Talking about the old law. Delivered from the law. In obedience to Christ's law. In Ephesians 2:13, you are near God. You know, as I said before, God is here in our presence. God is near us at all times if we're just allow him to be there. God is near. You are delivered from the power of evil. Colossians 1:13. Delivered from the power of evil. You know, any time that I got in trouble, I could remember back and say, well, I was not thinking about God at all at that time. I was thinking about getting even with this buddy or that buddy or whatever it might be. God was not on my mind. So evil come in. Things caused me to do things that I didn't really want to do. Keep our mind on God. We'll be delivered from the power of evil. You are a member of his kingdom, Colossians 1:13. Member of God's kingdom, his church. How many have the opportunity to say that? all do. Everyone has the opportunity. But they cannot accept that opportunity. Must they obey that law? In Romans 5:1 it says, you are justified. Justified. Just as though we had never done nothing wrong. When we're in obedience. When we're confessing our wrong. When we're in repentance. Justified. Pure standing before God. You have access to God at any moment. Ephesians 2:18. At any moment, we can pray to God. We don't have to be in the church building. We don't have to be somewhere down on our knees. We could be driving down the road, our mind on God, our mind praying. One of the most, I guess I could think of, reverent times that I remember prayer was out in overlooking Great Grand Canyon, thinking about God's creation, praying to the God that created such things for man to enjoy. You have access to God in any moment. You will never be abandoned, Hebrews 13:5. How often today are we abandoned by friends, by family, by whoever? God will never abandon us as long as we don't abandon Him. You know, we're talking about God drawing near. We're the ones that draw away. God is always near. You'll never be abandoned. And this one that we can all be very thankful for. You possess, and he says, get this, emphasis, every spiritual blessing possible in Christ. Every spiritual blessing possible. We can be blessed. That's in Ephesians 1:3. This is the gift offered to all of us. Being, obtaining every spiritual blessing. And we ask, where else to turn but to the Bible? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want physically, because I can realize all the blessings that I have in God. I will not want spiritually, realizing spiritually I will live forever and ever and ever, blessed by God. I'm thinking about an invitation. All of us have an opportunity to be completely blessed by God, if we will completely accept His word. This morning, if any needs prayers anyway, or if you've never accepted the gospel, the baptistry is waiting. Someone would baptize you. You become part of that kingdom that we just talked about. You become acceptable for every spiritual blessing. So at this time, as we stand and sing, if you have need, we ask you to come forward.